From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's another great day in the kingdom and one that they can get right with. Today, we're brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for every game, no matter how you watch the season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, those passionate fans that are the real generational talent for Pepsi Fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Today, we're going to get into a couple of what-ifs. There clearly are a couple of flaws from this last football game that we should discuss. And then we're going to talk with Joe Marino from the Draft Network and all about those Bills. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, been covering them over there for quite a while, as long as I have over at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it, and we appreciate all the new iTunes reviews we've been getting. Let's go ahead and jump in right away to the big thing that's out there and the possibility of bringing in a player like Le'Veon Bell.
Lev Bell, huh? So you hold out to, you know, get your money. You get your money. 28 mil, is it? And he played 13 games, something like that. Does it sound like a guy that's ready to be a team player somewhere else?
Well, I get what you're saying. The one thing I said, and this is kind of where I'm coming from on Twitter, I would do the deal if he wanted to be here and the coaches thought that they could get something out of him. I think he has the talent to take the offense to another level. I do think that it's him and in the running back room would really help. But at the same time, I get it if they don't want to go that direction. The nice thing is with Le'Veon Bell, if they brought him in, it would be a vet minimum deal because he's still getting paid by the Jets and he does have offsets. So they're only going to offset whatever he gets paid by his next team. So it's only going to cost him $650,000. To me, I think that that could be worth it.
And, you know, you have a very good point. And not only is that really, really affordable, but it's also something that if it isn't right, if you get in here and he's not a team player, he's not ready to toe the line, it's easy to part ways with him again. So that's a fair point. I just don't feel like he's going to bring something positive to the room, especially when you have a rookie in there that it would be taking snaps away from. But, you know, that's just my perception. There is one other tie that we know that he hung out with Chris Jones over the offseason, and maybe there's a familiarity thing there, a friendship that could maybe stabilize the situation.
That's possible. What I will say, and I like Darrell Williams, I like what he brings to this team, and I don't want to see him gone. But what I will say is that the one place that I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to need to work on is pass protection. I think that's something that Le'Veon Bell can give you, and I think he has a lot bigger skill set or a lot more of the same type of skill set as Clyde Edwards-Helaire does. Comparatively with Darrell Williams, I think Darrell Williams is a different type of runner. And so I think if you put Le'Veon Bell on the field in passing situations, and you still have that type of dynamic receiver, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I wouldn't argue with that too much. It Darrell requires a head of steam a little bit more. And that's why I think he's actually good, best at the screens and the flare passes, that kind of thing. We've seen him not be able to really get going in the run game. And I think that's fair to question at this point. As much as I like Darrell, another experienced body in the room couldn't hurt, but that's not the only thing. I've gotten a lot of questions about the offensive guard spot and what they're going to do and who they're going to look at and could they make a trade. The state of offensive line play in this league is not anything that I think any solid team is going to let somebody go that can help. And quite frankly, I don't know if there's any free agents out there that I would really want to go chase down. So I think the answer comes from within, and maybe that is Mike Remmers for the long haul.
Could be Remmers. It could also be Rankin. You got to remember he should be coming back from the PUP list. If he's healthy after this Bills game, he would be eligible to start practicing and maybe come back. So it's possible he's going to be their guy going forward. We don't know what Kansas City is going to do. You would think it's going to be Remmers considering what we've seen so far. I think Remmers played okay. I'm not going to say he played great. But at the same time, you know, as we've already discussed a little bit, you have an issue with Patrick Mahomes taking his drops a little deeper than he really should. And I think that does affect things. And then not stepping up into the pocket when there is a pocket there, I think also affects things.
Yeah, and that's all got to come together. It's got to be the offensive line and Patrick working together in unison. And that's about communication. It's about understanding the expectation and knowing that there's going to be an ad-lib factor, but not relying on that from the outset to be the entirety of what you're trying to accomplish. And you don't want to put a, you know, a muzzle on the creativity from Mahomes, but at this point, you can see how it's degrading the offense's efficiency as a whole. So I can get with that. But I'm sure there's going to be other aspects that are going to come into play against the Bills, who also are coming off of a tough game. There's going to be two pissed off teams, and I think that's probably a good thing for somebody. I just don't know who it's going to be. When we get back from the backside, Joe Marino's going to join Chris and go through the details of it. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the league, they've joined another one, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is there to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. This is going to be an incredible week. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. We are going to have Joe Marino from the Draft Network and also Locked On Bills to talk about this upcoming matchup against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. Joe, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, so I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question. Obviously, Josh Allen is off to a hot start this year. What is the biggest difference that you've seen, or what are the biggest couple differences you've seen from his progression from 2019 to 2020?
Well, I think it starts with efficiency. You know, the Bills went out and got Stephon Diggs. They want to put 3-4 receivers on the field just about on every play offensively. And Josh Allen being able to take advantage of those weapons at his disposal by becoming more efficient with his decision-making and accuracy. I mean, he's completing nearly 70% of his passes. He's been a sub-60% completion percentage guy in the first 2 years of his career. So him being more consistent in his approach, taking completions, taking profits, distributing the football has been big. His deep ball is much, much better. In fact, I mean, he was one of the worst deep ball throwers in the league last year, and now he's one of the best so far through five games this year, really connecting on those targets 20 yards plus down the field. He's handling pressure a lot more. And then the last thing I'll say is he's becoming less reliant on his necessity to run. I mean, that was kind of a big thing with Josh Allen his first 2 years, was that dual threat component of his game. And, you know, we've seen some of the lowest rushing totals of his career so far this year. And Josh has been able to rely on his arm and his ability to make throws and win from the pocket. And so I think all of that together, combined with a lot of continuity and a good infrastructure around him, has led to a really, really exciting jump for Josh Allen in year three.
Well, I like what you said about the accuracy, because I'll be honest, that was my biggest concern with him when over the past couple of seasons has been his accuracy. And I know it's taken a big leap forward this year, and I do think that Stephon Diggs has a part in that. With his addition, I think that was a fantastic move for Buffalo to bring him in. When you look at this team, before their Tuesday night game against the Tennessee Titans, they were 4-0. They were going in this game. And obviously, there's been a lot of moving parts going into trying to figure out how they're going to play the Titans, when they're going to play the Titans because of all of the COVID-19 issue, and when they're going to play the Chiefs based on when they're going to play the Titans. How do you think that really affected the way they played on Tuesday night?
Unfortunately, I think it had affected them a lot. And that's disappointing, because the team that I thought would be impacted would be Tennessee, the team that didn't really have practices for 18 days and were locked out of their facility doing most of the preparation for this game virtually. You know, Tennessee was the team that embraced the challenges and the adversity that the game presented and went out there, were ready to play, and had an us against the world mentality. And it felt like the Bills were very much a team that was, I wouldn't say making an excuse for those challenges, but they didn't embrace them nearly as well, which is disappointing for a Sean McDermott coach football team who is a great leader that we have so much respect for, but he just didn't, I don't think he handled it as well as Mike Vrabel and the Titans did. And that's pretty disappointing. Now, when you think about playing the Chiefs, this game was originally scheduled for Thursday Night Football. And the one thing that we always said going into this game, obviously, you know, the Chiefs are a big circle on everyone's schedule. And we thought to ourselves, well, damn, if you're going to play the Chiefs, you might as well do it on a short week at your stadium.
Right.
Now, you're still playing in Buffalo, but the dynamics of the short week don't exist. In fact, you know, the Chiefs get a couple extra days to prepare. The Bills are the ones that are coming off short rest here. And so, you know, how do they learn from this? Are they going to strip down those excuses, embrace this challenge, and get ready to play the defending Super Bowl champions? Or are they going to let the fluctuation here and the lack of being in rhythm and routine affect their performance again? Because if they do, it's going to get sloppy and ugly against, you know, what is arguably the best team in the NFL.
Well, and, you know, I thought it was a very, I think it's very interesting the way things flip-flopped, because you're right. Kansas City was going to be at a disadvantage because it almost looked like they were going to play three games in 11 days.
Yeah.
And then now you're looking at a situation where Buffalo is the one that now has a short week because they played last night, and they're, and yeah, it's not till Monday night, but Kansas City played on Sunday. So obviously that's two extra days of rest. So that's a big deal. And I do think that that's really going to change the dynamic of this game. I'm not going to lie. I really don't care for Thursday night football games very often, especially if you're playing away. So that's a, that's also a big advantage, I think, to, you know, honestly, to both teams in a way, to get away from those Thursday night games, because I don't like short week games. When you look at this Buffalo team, though, and you look at how efficient they've been in the offensive side of the ball so far this season, what has really stood out to you other than Josh Allen? Obviously, we've already talked about him. He has taken a big step forward. But what has really stood out to you other than him, and really Stephon Diggs as well, because obviously he's a big piece that I think has fit into this?
I think pass protection has been really outstanding. The Bills signed Darrell Williams, former Carolina Panther, was an All-Pro in 2017. Then he's been banged up the last couple of years. Whether it's been injuries or playing out of position at guard or left tackle, he's really struggled. But he's come to Buffalo, and I think he's been really outstanding at right tackle. Deion Dawkins, who they just rewarded with a big contract extension, has been exceptional at left tackle. And a guy that Chiefs fans know very well, Mitch Morse, has been unbelievable, really. I mean, for obviously this year, but also last year, coming over and really anchoring that interior offensive line. So I think
the Bills loved him.
He's a good player, a great personality, just really fits in. And the offensive line's played really, really well. There's no question. Josh Allen has time to be patient, let routes develop. I think Gabriel Davis, a rookie wide receiver, a fourth round pick, has came in and allowed the Bills to be a 10, 11 personnel heavy team. A lot of four wide receiver sets, and his emergence, it's coming along so quickly, has really helped add to some scheme diversity. And so I think you mentioned obviously Diggs and Allen's where you start the conversation. Brian Daboll's doing a great job coordinating the offense, but if you're looking for other contributing factors here, it's definitely that offensive line. And then I'd give Gabriel Davis a lot of credit as well.
So if we flip it over to the other side of the ball, what have you seen defensively from Buffalo? What have you learned from them in 2020? How has it changed from previous years?
It's a massive disappointment, Chris. The Bills had a top three defense each of the last two seasons, and they are just on their heels right now, not playing good football. They have the most expensive defensive line in the league, $51 million, 23% of the salary cap committed to this defensive line, and the pass rush just hasn't been there. The second lowest pressure percentage on pass plays in the NFL this year. Extremely disappointing, and the Bills have had injuries on the second level. Matt Milano, who is absolutely critical. I don't think he's going to be available for the Chiefs game. His absence from the lineup has really hurt the team. He's really important for matchup-specific type things, whether that's spying, taking on tight ends, covering running backs out of the backfield. You know, he's not going to be available, which is something that if I'm the Chiefs and I have Edwards-Helaire as a pass catcher and Kelce as a receiving tight end, that's obviously is something I'd like to exploit. And then, you know, the secondary has really underperformed, not necessarily at safety, but at corner. Trey White's been fine, but he was injured for the Tennessee game. Levi Wallace, the other starting corner, is out with an ankle. Josh Norman was the number one corner against Tennessee, and that's just not within his wheelhouse anymore. And Cam he got abused. Cam Lewis is off the practice squad starting. Taron Johnson, the slot corner, has been terrible. So, I mean, the Bills' defensive identity has really slipped through their hands so far this year, and I guess the encouraging sign is that many of the ingredients that have led to this being a good defense in 2018 and 2019, they exist, whether that's personnel or coaching. It's all there. So they got to find themselves. But, you know, Chris, it's hard to imagine a get-right game, if you will, coming against the Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Well, and I would think your get-right game is going to be the next week against the New York Jets, personally. No offense to your defense. I will agree. I think they've struggled this year, and I think that that's definitely something to worry about. Although you look back at some of the teams that they played, the Miami Dolphins don't look so bad after beating the 49ers. So,
right.
Big question on that one. Do you think White is going to be available for this game on Monday night?
You know, we thought he was going to play yesterday. He had a back issue flare up. He wound up being inactive. Coach McDermott was asked about it, and he's always holds things so close to the vest, he doesn't give you much. So he basically said, you know, that he'll trust the doctors and they'll decide if he can play. So McDermott didn't give you much, but I mean, it feels like this was one of those situations where maybe Buffalo said, look, Tennessee's without Corey Davis, without Adam Humphries, you know, they're only having AJ Brown as one of their top three receivers available. Yep. And that it just maybe meant more for him to be available at home against Kansas City. But I think he'll play, but that's probably based on a lot of hope and just pure speculation on my behalf.
Yeah, fair enough, though. It's a big thing if he does play. I think that he could be an invaluable piece against this Kansas City offense. When you're looking at your division and how it's kind of changed over the past couple of years, Buffalo looks like they could be in the driver's seat of the AFC East. How are you feeling about them going into this game against Kansas City in that regard?
Well, I guess the part that you feel good about when it comes to the AFC East and the Bills winning it this year is that if they lose this game and they fall to 4-2, they're still going to be in first place in the division because the yep. Patriots can be no better than 3-2. So, you know, that's the piece of it where there's a lot of hope. But you know, it's a difficult challenge ahead for this Bills football team because, you know, Josh Allen is playing out of his mind and he's showing he can carry the team at times, but there has to be some level of defense to help him out. And it feels weird that this has been the script for the Bills, the 2020 version of the Bills, because if anything, you probably thought it would be the other way around. So you feel good about your chances in the AFC East, regardless of this outcome. You love that you play the Jets after this really difficult two-game stretch, but then it's the Patriots. So, you know, the Bills have a chance to prove themselves, whether it's they're playing Tennessee. They've already played Tennessee. They're going to play the Chiefs. They got two against the Patriots. They play Pittsburgh this year. You know, the teams that they're going to have to go through to be viewed as a contender, they're going to have a chance to play. And so they can write their own narrative, and it's all right there in front of them.
Yeah, this game has huge implications for playoff scenarios later in the year. Absolutely huge. If Buffalo is continuing to win and Kansas City loses this game, they could essentially be three games back of the Bills for the top spot. Okay, real quick, Joe, got to ask, how do you think this game shapes out? Are you going to pick the Bills or are you going to pick the Chiefs?
Well, I'll go on record on Monday, actually. I've promised my listeners that, but I think you could probably pick out a lot of clues in my tone about this being the opponent with these defensive issues and realize that, you know, unless I have some revelations here in the coming days, I don't have a great forecast here for the Bills. I think they'll be able to score. That's exciting. But it feels like, you know, a Chiefs team that's coming off of a disappointing division loss, that's played some close games, that they're going to want to really kind of make some noise here. It's a primetime game. You're getting the best Fox crew, if I'm not mistaken. You're getting Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. I mean, this is a big one. And it just feels like it's the wrong opponent at the wrong time for the Bills, if that makes sense.
No, it does makes a lot of sense.
Chain stores had different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everyone, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or an account login.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. I did this the other day for my new charger, and it worked fantastic. You need to go check it out. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. We have Joe Marino of the Draft Network and Locked On Bills to discuss this upcoming game on Monday Night Football. It has huge implications for the playoffs. I know we're only in week six, but it is a huge deal right now.
So, Chris, the first question I want to ask you here is coming off the Super Bowl championship. And so when you think about that happening and you think about watching this team play five games so far in 2020, specifically on the offense, because this team, let's face it, it's about Patrick Mahomes. What have you learned about Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense in 2020 as they defend their title?
Yeah, real quick, I just want to say, you know, I don't like the 5 p.m. start Eastern, although I do like it a little bit better than a Tuesday night game. I just want to throw that out there for you guys. You know, I think what we've learned so far is that I think Patrick has gotten better in some areas, and I think what we saw the past couple of weeks is he's regressed in a couple as well. I think that you're looking at the way he played and when he won on the Super Bowl, and I think one of the things that most people will remember that watched that Super Bowl was the Wasp play. And it's where he had to basically drift back to almost 13 yards deep in the pocket to be able to get enough time to be able to make that play happen. And I think what you're seeing right now is that he is drifting a little bit more in the pocket, further back than he really should be. And he's not stepping up. And I think that's going to cause issues, with a lot of teams, because I think they're starting to attack that now. They know that if they, do that, he will try to bail out. And then, you know, obviously if they've got eight that they're dropping into coverage, they can have a spy, and that really will help them as well. I do think that the offense is still doing pretty good. Obviously, 32 points against the Raiders. That's not, you know, a bad sign, but I do think that it's something that he needs to work on, is really getting back to the basics of dropping to how deep he's supposed to, based on, you know, what step he's supposed to be at in his drop. If it's seven step, you know, go as far as you're supposed to go back. Don't go any further. And then really stepping up into the pocket, because they have created pockets for him at times that he should be able to step up into. And I know that the offensive line has struggled, but it's still something that he needs to work on.
Well, my next question for you, Chris, was going to be about Patrick Mahomes when he's not on top of his game. What's true about those moments, and how can the Bills limit Mahomes? And it sounds like you kind of answered that in response to what you've learned about this Chiefs offense. So what I want to do is kind of pivot off of that idea and just ask you about these weapons, because when I think about going up against Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Travis Kelce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and, of course, Patrick Mahomes, we know Sammy Watkins is hurt, but there's just so many different layers to this offense. From watching it on a weekly basis to why is it, how do you stop it? What do you even begin to do to limit this really talented group of weapons?
Well, and you didn't mention Sammy Watkins because he's not going to be available in this game, and I get it, but I think he is a lot more useful piece than people give him credit for. I think he really takes part of the defense away. And I think that's going to be a big loss for Kansas City this week against the Bills. But what I will say is, with the weapons that they have, Andy Reid has been using them and has really had a couple of different plays that we didn't expect him to have and that were new this year that I really like, different variations. He's been pitching the ball a little bit more to Clyde Edwards-Helaire to give them a little bit of a different look in the running game. I think that's a great use of Clyde Edwards-Helaire's ability to get outside and really create in space. When you look at Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, you have a lot of speed to burn, and you have to be able to maximize that use by being able to take those deep shots. But that requires your quarterback to be able to step up into the pocket. That requires your quarterback to have trust in his offensive line so we can take those deep shots. And then you have Travis Kelce, who I think is playing some of the best football I've seen him play. And I think that's got to be scary because he's been very good for several years now. And I think he's taken a step forward. And I'm not going to say he's a George Kittle type blocker, but he's shown that in the past couple of weeks that he has improved his blocking as well. And I think that really helps this offense.
Flipping the script now to the defensive side of the football, which has been the unit that gets criticism for the Chiefs, right? Everybody wishes the Chiefs had a better defense, maybe wishes they invested more on the defense. But they keep building up that offense. So what can you tell us about this Chiefs defense? Where is it strong? Where is it weak?
You know, I think going into this Raiders game, the Chiefs were feeling pretty good about their pass defense. They were the number one team in pass defense when it came to DVOA. I think that's a huge stat that a lot of people wouldn't have expected. But, you know, obviously the Raiders were able to do things that no other team has done to Kansas City. So that's definitely something that they're going to have to be concerned about. I think the secondary has really been a strength of this defense for most of the season. I think that they took several steps back last week, and I think that they need to get more sound on their assignments and not be tricked. I think there were several plays where some of the corners and safeties even stepped up when, if they would have played their regular zones, you don't have some of those big plays. Obviously, that's exactly what the offense is trying to design you to do. So you have to be disciplined in what you're doing. Defensively, I think their defensive line, I think, has done pretty well when it comes to pass rush. Although you look at what they did against the Raiders, and they really never touched Derek Carr. That's really a big concern, considering Frank Clark has really done very well against Colton Miller in the past. Chris Jones has usually been able to at least get some kind of pressure, and that really didn't seem to be something that really affected Derek Carr. I think that's a big thing going forward. And you look at how they're going to shape up against this Bills team. The Bills have a good offensive line, so that's going to be difficult to get to Josh Allen to begin with. I think where they really struggle and their biggest weakness is their linebackers. I think that they still need more players there. I think that Anthony Hitchens is great as a leader. I think that he has struggled being the player that they want him to be. And, you know, their second-round rookie, Willie Gay, is not quite where they want him to be yet either. He's still learning the defense. I think he's going to get more snaps against the Bills than he got against the Raiders, but it's still going to be a work in process. And Ben Neiman is more of a special teams guy and a sub-package guy, so I think that's a big thing as well.
So when you look ahead to this matchup on Monday, what are some of those X factors that stand out in your mind about this Chiefs team when it comes to finding both advantages and areas of concern for the game?
You know, when I look at this Chiefs team, I think the biggest X factor is, you know, does the team come out and do they look focused from the start? I think that in some ways you could say that the Chiefs came out and looked focused in the game against the Raiders, and then they got up early and then they lost their focus. And you know, if they start hot, then I think they're going to be in good shape against the Bills. I'm not saying that the Bills can't win this game, because I definitely think they can. But I think that's one of the biggest things that really needs to come forward this week, is this whole team needs to be focused. They need to realize they have an X on their back from winning the Super Bowl. They're going to get every team's best shot, and they need to be ready from the get-go. When you look at X factors on defense, it's really Tyrann Mathieu. What is he going to be able to do? Can he get in and make plays and make Josh Allen make bad mistakes? I think that there's a possibility he could do that, though. I think Allen's played fantastic so far this season for the most part. Offensively, I think really the X factor is really going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, you look at what he's able to do running the ball and what he's able to do catching the ball, and the question is can you get him involved enough and get him the ball enough to where it gives you a running game good enough to be able to complement your passing game? And if they can do that, I think they're going to be in good shape. Joe, thank you very much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And that is going to be it for us today, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.